Jonathan Edwards is probably the most famous of all American preachers. He is best known for his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which, interestingly enough, the first time he preached it, it had little effect on the congregation. The next week he went to a different church and preached it, and it sparked a nationwide revival. Because of that theme, people think Jonathan Edwards was a fire and brimstone preacher. The fact is, he was not. I mean, except in his words. It was suggested a while back that we get a video recording of my sermons for the website, but it didn't happen because I think they thought I wasn't animated enough to make an interesting video. But I'm a veritable windmill compared to Edwards. He never made hand gestures. He'd come to the pulpit, spread his manuscript out of his written sermon, put his spectacles down on the end of his nose, and without any emotion, because he was afraid of emotion, he wanted the words to be what moved the people, without any emotion, he'd simply read his manuscript. So he wasn't a thunderer. I'll read some of this sermon. It's called Redeeming the Time. It's from Ephesians. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Time is a thing that is exceedingly precious for the following reason. One, because eternity depends on the improvement of time. Things are precious in proportion to the importance of them, or according to the degree wherein they concern our welfare. Men are prone to set the highest value on those things that they are sensible of and that they have their chief dependence upon. Other things they may easily part with, but they won't very easily part with such things. And this renders time so exceeding precious, because our welfare and interest of it depends upon the improvement of it. Time is precious on other accounts. It is precious because our welfare in this world depends upon the improvement of it. It is precious because if we don't improve it, we shall be in danger of coming to poverty and disgrace. It is precious because by the good improvement of it, we may obtain those things that will be comfortable to us here. But it is above all precious, as eternity depends upon it. The importance of the improvement of time upon other accounts is in subordination to this, and is little or nothing in comparison. According as we either improve or lose our time, so shall we be happy or miserable to all eternity. Without the improvement of time, our eternity will be miserable, and with good improvement of time, our eternity will be happy. Gold and silver are esteemed precious by men, but they are of no worth to any man, but only as he thereby has an opportunity either of avoiding or removing some evil, or possessing himself of some good. If a man has never so much silver or gold, if it gives him no opportunity either by avoiding any sort of evil or procuring any good, it is of no worth to him. And the greater the evil that any man has advantage to escape, or the good that he has opportunity to obtain by anything that he has, by so much of the greater worth or value is that thing to him. Thus, if a man by anything that he have might save his life, he would look upon that thing by which he has opportunity of escaping so great an evil of death to be very precious. So if by anything he has opportunity to obtain a kingdom, it will be of great value to him. And hence it is that time is a thing so exceeding precious, because it is by that we have opportunity of escaping everlasting misery and of obtaining eternal blessedness and glory. It is upon the improvement of time that there depends an escape from an infinite evil and an obtaining an infinite good. And this puts an infinite value upon time. Eternity depends upon it, for eternity is of an infinite or endless duration. And to be miserable through eternity is an infinite evil. It is infinitely dreadful. And so to be happy through eternity is an infinite good. Next, time is very short, which is another thing that renders it very precious. The scarcity of any commodity occasions men to set a higher value upon it, especially if it be a thing that is necessary to be had, that they can't do without, or that their interest much depends upon it. Thus, when Samaria was besieged by the Syrians, an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. When bread is very scarce, they that have bread have but a little of it. They will be more choice of it, and will set higher value upon it, because bread is what they must have or perish. So time is the more to be prized by men, because a whole eternity depends upon it. And yet we have but a little of it. When a few days are gone, then we must go where we shall not return. Our days are swifter than a post. They are passed away as the swift ships, and as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Our life, what is it? It is but a vapor that continues a little while, and then vanishes away. It is but a moment to eternity, and bears no proportion to it. Time is so short, and the work is so great that we have to do in it, that we have none of it to spare. The work that we have to do to prepare for eternity must be done in time, or it can never be done. And it is found to be a work of great difficulty and labor. We read of silver being so plenteous in Solomon's time that it was as the stones of the street. It was nothing to be accounted of. They had more of it than they needed or knew what to do with. But this is not the case with us with respect to time. And it is but a little time that God hath allotted to us, a short space that is soon, all of it, gone. If a man loses any of that he has but little of, and yet is absolutely necessary to him, his loss is a greater. It is as if he has but a little food wherewith to support his life. If he loses some of it, his loss is greater than if he had an abundance. So we ought to prize our time the more highly, and to be careful that we don't lose any of it, because it is so short, and yet what is so necessary to us. Time ought to be looked upon as very precious by us upon this account also, that we are uncertain of its continuance. We know that it is very short, but we don't know how short. We don't know how little there is of it remaining, whether a year or several years, or only a month, or a week, or a day. We don't know but that every day may not be the last, or how little of the day we are to have. There is nothing that experience verifies more than this. There is another thing that makes reading is harder than preaching. There is another thing. This is another thing that makes time precious, and upon the account of which we ought to be the more careful not to lose the least part of, seeing that our everlasting welfare depends on the improvement of time. If a man had provision laid up for a journey, and knew that he had but a little, and he knew not how little, and at the same time knew that if his provision failed, he must perish upon his journey, he would be the more choice of his store, for his not knowing what there was of it. He would be the more careful not to throw any of it away, not to lose any of it. This thought would make him the more careful that he did not know how much there was of it. And therefore, if he parted with but little, it may be there would not be enough to support him through his journey. How much more would many men prize their time if they knew that they had but a few months or a few days more in the world? And certainly a wise man would prize his time the more because he does not know but that it is so. This is the case with multitudes now in the world that now are in health and so see no signs of approaching death. Many without doubt are to die the next month, and many are to die the next week. Many are to die tomorrow, and now know nothing of it, and think nothing of it. And neither they nor their neighbors can say that they are any more likely soon to be taken out of the world than others. How many have died out of this town at one time and another when neither they nor any neighbors saw any signs of death a week beforehand? And probably there are various persons now here present, hearing what I say, that are to die in a very little time and have no apprehension of it. This teaches us how we ought to prize our time and be careful that we don't lose any of it. Time is very precious because when it is past, it can't be recovered. There are many things that men possess which, if they part with, they can obtain them again. If a man has parted with something he had, not knowing the worth of it or the need he should have of it, he oftentimes can get it again, at least with pains and cost. If a man has been overseen in a bargain and bartered away or sold something that he had, and afterwards repents of it, he may oftentimes get a release and recover what he has parted with. But it is not so with respect to time. When once that is gone, it is gone forever. No pains, no cost will fetch it back. If we repent never so much that we have let it go, and did not improve it while we had it, it will signify nothing. Therefore, we should be the more choice of it while we have it, for that which is well improved is not lost, though the time itself will be gone, yet the benefit of it abides with us. It is so with our time, both in whole and in every particular part. When any part of time is lost, it is irrecoverably gone. The offer is never but once made unto us, whether we will improve it or not. Every part of our time is, as it were, successively offered to us, that we may choose whether we will make it our own or not. But there is no tarrying to wait upon us to see whether we will or not. But if we refuse, it immediately is taken away and never offered more. As to that part of time that is gone, if we haven't well improved it, it is out of our possession and out of our reach. It is only what is yet before us that we have any opportunity to make our own, whether that be less or more. If we have lived 50 or 60 or 70 years and haven't improved them, it now can't be helped. It is all eternally gone from us. All that we can do is improve the little that remains. Yet if we have spent all our lives and but a few minutes was improved, all that is gone is lost. And it is only those few remaining minutes that it is possible should be made our own. And if the whole of our time is gone and it is all lost, it is irrecoverable. Eternity depends on the improvement of time, but when once the time of life is gone, when once death has come, we have no more to do with time. There is no fetching it back. There is no obtaining of a repetition of it or another space to prepare for eternity. For this reason, we ought to set the higher value upon time when we have it. If a man loses his money, oftentimes he can get more and so make up his loss. If a man should lose the whole of his worldly substance and become a bankrupt, it is possible his loss may be made up. He may have another estate as good. But when the time of life is gone, it is impossible that we should ever obtain another such time. It is utterly and everlastingly gone. Improvement may be by self-reflection, to put persons upon reflecting and inquiring about what they have done with their time. You have heard now of the preciousness of time, and you are a person concerned. You are one to whom God has committed that precious talent. You have had a great deal of time. You've had a great deal of time that is past. And time is as much worth to you as to others, whether you are so sensible of the worth of it or not. You are one that has an eternity before you. When God created you and gave you a reasonable soul, He made you for an eternity, and he gave you time here in order to prepare for eternity. And your future eternity depends on the improvement of time. Consider, therefore, what you have done with your past time. You are not now beginning to spend your time, but a great deal of your time has passed and gone, and all the wit and power of the universe can't recover it. How have you spent it? Let your own conscience make answer. There are many of you that may well conclude that half your time is gone. If you should live to the ordinary age of men, your glass is more than half run, and perhaps there may be but few sands remaining. Your sun has passed the meridian and perhaps just setting, or going into an everlasting eclipse. Consider, therefore, what account can you give of the improvement of your past time? How have you let the precious golden sands of your glass run? Every day that you have had has been precious. Your moments have been precious. But have you not wasted your precious moments and precious days, yea, and precious years? If you should go to reckon up how many days you have lived, what a sum would there be? And how precious has every one of those days been? And what have you done with them? What has become of them all? What can you show of any improvement or good done or benefit obtained answerable to all this time that you have lived? When you look back and search, don't you find this past time of your life in a great measure empty, having not been filled up with any good improvement? And if God, that has given you time, should now call you to an account, what account could you give him? How much may be done in a year? How much good is there opportunity for doing in such a space of time? How much service may people do for God? And how much for their own souls, if persons do their utmost to improve it? How much may be done in a day? But what have you done in so many days and years that you have lived? What have you done with the whole time of your youth, you that are past your youth? What has become of all that precious season of life? What have you to show for it all? Has not all that precious season of life, even the time of your youth, been in vain to you? Would it not have been as well or better for you if you had been all that time asleep or in a state of non-existence? You have had a great deal of time of freedom from your worldly business. Consider what you have done with it. To what purpose have you spent it? What have you done with all the Sabbath days that you have had? You haven't only had ordinary time, but you have had a great deal of holy time. How have you spent it? Consider these things seriously and let your own conscience make answer. This is a reproof to those who lose and misspend their time. How little is the preciousness of time considered, and how little of a sense do the greater part of men seem to have of it, and how lavish are they of it? To how little good purpose do many spend their time? There's nothing more precious, and yet nothing that men are more wasteful of. Time is with many as silver was in the days of Solomon. It is as the stones of the street, and nothing accounted of, but not because it is in great plenty as silver then was. Mankind acts as though time is a thing that they have in greatest plenty, and as if they had a great deal more than they needed, and know not what to do with it. If men were as lavish of their money as they are of their time, and it was as common a thing for them to throw away their money as it is for men to throw away their time, we would think of them as persons beside themselves. And yet time is 1,000 times more precious than money, and is what can't be purchased for money. When it is gone, money won't redeem it. There are several sorts of persons that are reproved by this doctrine that I shall particularly mention. Those that spend a great deal of their time in idleness or doing nothing and following no business at all neither of their general or particular calling, doing nothing that shall turn to any account, either for the good of their souls or bodies, nothing either for their own benefit, nor for the benefit of their neighbors, nor of the family, nor of public society. There are some persons that time seems to lie heavy on their hands. Instead of it being their concern to improve it as it passes, and seeing to it that it shall not pass without their making of it their own, they act as if it was rather their care to contrive ways how to waste and consume it, as though time, instead of being precious, was rather a mere encumbrance to them, and that it was their contrivance to get rid of. Their hands refuse to labor, and rather than put themselves to it, they will let their families suffer and will suffer themselves. The idle soul shall suffer hunger. Slothfulness shall clothe a man with rags. Some spend much of their time at the tavern over their cups, and in wandering about from house to house, wasting away their hours in idle and unprofitable talk that will turn to no good account. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty. The direction of the apostle is, as in Ephesians 4:28, that we shall labor, working with our hands, a thing that is good, that we may have to give to him that needeth. But instead of having anything to give to him that needs, they do but waste what they have. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Next, they are reproved by the doctrine that spend their time in wicked works, who don't merely spend their time in doing nothing to any good purpose, but they spend it to ill purpose. They do not only lose their time that is so precious, but they do worse than lose it. They do themselves and others hurt with it. That is, that which is such a precious jewel that is more worth than thousands of gold and silver, whereby they have opportunity of obtaining a crown and kingdom and securing everlasting blessedness, they wound and kill themselves with it. That by which they have opportunity to obtain life, they improve to their own death. They make a sword of this precious metal to stab themselves with. Time is precious, as we have heard, because eternity depends upon it by the improvement of time. We have opportunity of escaping eternal misery and obtaining eternal blessedness. But those that spend their time in wicked works, they not only neglect to improve their time to obtain eternal happiness or to escape eternal damnation, but they spend it to quite contrary purpose, to increase their eternal misery, to render their damnation the more heavy and intolerable. Many spend their time not only idly but viciously. Some spend a great deal of time in excessive drinking. Some have spent much time in reveling and in unclean talk and practices and vicious company keeping and corrupting and ensnaring the minds of others, setting bad examples and leading others into sin, undoing not only their own souls but the souls of others. They have spent their time in corrupting and infecting the towns and places where they live. Some spend a great deal of their precious time in talking against others, in detraction and backbiting. Some spend much time in contention, not only quarreling among themselves, but fomenting and stirring up strife and contention. What doleful ways are these of spending time that is so precious, as we have heard. This is not only wasting time, it is a worse way of abusing time than a mere wasting of it. It is as making that which is most precious to become the most pernicious. Well, I'm going to stop there. Puritan preacher, he's only halfway through with that. Gives you an idea of Puritan preaching. Excellent wordsmith he was. Well, let's conclude with hymn 621.